The writer to the book of Hebrews is, in the 11th chapter first, has given us a statement about faith in the first verse that we looked at last time. For faith, now faith is the substance, which means the assurance or the reality, literally, of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof or the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders received or obtained witness. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then by faith, we have the sacrifice of faith here in the fourth verse. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaking. Now, we saw last time how that Abel brought an animal sacrifice, which was a picture of his faith in the big sacrifice that was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already seen in the 9th chapter of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is a once-and-for-all sacrifice. All through the Old Testament, they offered many animal sacrifices. They would do it over and over again. Some days they would offer the same sacrifice many times. That doesn't mean they offered the same animal many times, but they offered the same type of sacrifice many times the same day. Some days they might offer 10, 15, 20 sin offerings. Some days they may offer 10 or 15 trespass offerings. But they would offer these often all the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he offered his own body on the cross one time, once did it for all of eternity, and it'll never be offered again. Now, these were all pictures of that one sacrifice that was to come. And Abel had the same kind of faith in this one sacrifice. Now, he showed his faith by bringing an animal and offering that animal. Cain did not. Of course, we pointed out last time that Cain offered the kind of sacrifice that was vegetables, it was the fruit of the ground, it was the fruit of his own hands. And God did not accept Cain's sacrifice because it was not a bloody sacrifice. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no payment for sin. So, God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. It made him mad. So, he got to thinking that, God won't accept mine. He accepted my brother's. I'll just show him a thing or two. So he took the knife that Abel probably took in, slit the animal's throat. Certainly there was a knife that was used in sacrificing animals. Well, it was the exact one that Abel used or not, we do not know, but we do know from 1 John that was a sacrificial knife that he slit Abel's throat with and killed him. And the Bible says that testimony still speaks. Abel had a faith. Abel had the saving kind of faith. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the sacrifice of faith. Now tonight, in the 5th verse, after we have the sacrifice of faith, we have the walk of faith. Now, you've got to have the sacrifice of faith before you can have the walk of faith. You've got to be saved. You've got to have eternal life before you can begin to walk by faith. And I'm sure the writer of the book of Hebrews had this in mind when he put them in the order that he did, because we'll see next week about the work of faith. We have the sacrifice of faith, Abel. The walk of faith, Enoch. And then the work of faith, Noah. And so he puts them in this order. And tonight, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never believed that He was God's Son who took on flesh, the virgin birth, Christmas, if you please. Jesus Christ became a real man, just like you are, just like I am. He became flesh. He was God incarnate, a God in the flesh, a God in a human body, just like yours. And he became a human being so that he could go to the cross and die in your place and pay for all your sins. And that's exactly what he did. He paid for all the sins you have committed in the past, all the ones you are committing in the present, all the ones you will commit in the future. He died and paid for all of them for you. And when you believe in that sacrifice, you have the faith of the sacrifice for sin. then the Bible says you have eternal life. But his ministry received him, the Lord Jesus Christ. To them gave he the authority, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born. And he says, not of three things, but he says, you're born of God. You're born of God by faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving him. And to receive him means to receive him for who he was and what he's done. He was God. He died in your place, and he paid for your sins. Then we have the walk of faith. Notice the fifth verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, this is a peculiar fellow. Has a man that had not seen death and was not found. In other words, they looked for him, but they didn't find him. One day, Enoch was around here in his family, and he had all of his kids around, and Enoch had several of them. And he was moving through the city there that he lived in, and the place that he worked. And then one afternoon, he went out, and he was walking with God. And he was not. They couldn't find him. They looked for him, but no Enoch. Because God had translated him. God had taken him up. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you know, that's some testimony. A man that walks with God, and he walks with God so much that that man doesn't die. Enoch never saw physical death. The Bible says that he should not see death. Now, you know, that's something that I don't think... How many of you want to die? Anybody here wants to die physically? You got a yearning for it? Of course not. Well, there's a man that didn't do it. And if one man didn't do it, there's a possibility that others will not do it. And if you walk with God like Enoch does, it just might be that you'll be translated. Now, one of these days, there's going to be a whole lot of Christians who are not going to see death. Because God's going to take them. Now, it's going to be different from what Enoch was. Because the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Which is speaking of the dead bodies. And this mortal, talking about our live bodies, shall put on immortality. Now, several years ago, we got all excited about space travel. Enoch's already done it. Right. Enoch, I guess you called him the first astronaut. Didn't have a spaceship, didn't need it. Because God took it. God was his propulsion. God did it. And he had a testimony that he pleased God. Now I want you to turn with me back to Genesis, the fifth chapter. And let's look at the account as it is given there in Genesis for just a moment. It's on page 10, if you have a Bible like mine. Now, the fifth chapter of Genesis is rather a boring chapter in a lot of ways. There's something that sticks out in this chapter, and seven times it says, makes one little phrase or one little statement. Look at the fifth verse. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he what? He died. Then look at the eighth verse. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he what? He died. The 11th verse. And all the days of Enos were 105 years, and he died. And verse 14, and he died. And then in verse 17, and he died. Verse 20, and he died the sixth time. And then Enoch walked with God. Verse 22. After he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Look at verse 31. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Eight times it says, and he died. I suppose you could call this the biblical boot heel, if you want to. And he died. But there's one bright spot in here. All through here, it talks about him begetting sons and daughters. All through here, it talks about him dying. But this one man, he sticks out. And he's peculiar. He must have been some kind of a man. And I want you to notice carefully now what the Bible says about this man Enoch again. And this is something that we emphasize here over and over and over and over again. Why? Because the Bible emphasizes it over and over and over again. In other words, he's got here people having children, living, dying. People having children, living, dying. People having children, living and dying. Now Enoch, this Enoch is the seventh from Adam. Seventh has to do with perfection. And Enoch, verse 21, look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. And as soon as it says he begot Methuselah, it says, and Enoch did what? Walked with God. When Enoch had Methuselah, it says he walked with God. Now, it didn't say that he walked with God because he had Methuselah. But he said when he had Methuselah, Enoch was walking with God. He had this little boy. He had this child. And as he looked at that child, something must have happened to Enoch. It must have changed his life. A lot of times, you know, it takes something like this. Not necessarily having children, but some traumatic experience to change our lives. D.L. Moody, the same thing happened to him. He had the church there in Chicago, and the Moody Bible Institute, when the great Chicago fire hit, completely destroyed the school and the church. And he went over to New York to try to raise some money to rebuild the church and the school. And he was over there, and he thought, well, this is just like begging. And some kind of way, while he was on that trip to New York, something happened to him. And he said from that time on, when he preached the same old sermons, it wasn't the same old sermons. He preached exactly the same sermons, but they were different. People began to respond. People began to trust Jesus Christ. They say where before they didn't, now they do. Now it wasn't that he received the Holy Spirit then, as some people would say. He had already had the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit began to have control of him. And there was a difference. And there is a vast difference between you and myself having God the Holy Spirit inside of us and God the Holy Spirit inside of us having us. What are we talking about? Walking with God. Walking in the power of God the Holy Spirit in our life. You say, well, that's easy for you because you're a preacher. It was easy for old Enoch because, you know, people weren't so wicked back in those days. You know, here he was, Enoch, walking with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, a man walking with God, I wonder what kind of a father he became. It would be wonderful to have a father who walked with God, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Be wonderful to have you ladies to have a husband who walked with God, wouldn't it? Who really and truly and honest to goodness knows what it's like to walk is God having to walk. To step where God wants him to step and do those things that God wants him to do. You know, I'm sure he was a better neighbor, don't you think? You college students, it's wonderful to have a roommate who walks with God. Have neighbors on both sides of you who walk with God. I'm sure when he went to work, at his work, he was a whole lot more pleasant when he was walking with God, don't you think? Sure, you know it was. Enoch was a citizen in the town he lived in. And I'm sure that town was a different town because this man walked with God. What are we talking about? Moment by moment, doing what God wants him to do. That's what it means to walk. You see, when you're walking, you only take one step at a time. We don't want to do like old Peter did. You know, when they were out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were coming to take the Lord Jesus Christ, old Peter, he ripped out his sword and cut that man's ear off. Now, when he did that, he got ahead of what he was supposed to be doing. Because it was not time yet to fight. There will be a time when Peter can rip out that sword. But not now. That wasn't the time. A few hours later, he got behind. You see, he was ahead of time there, and then a little later on, when he was sitting there warming his hands by the fire, they said, oh, you're one of them. What did he do? He denied it, and what did he do? Cursed. You see, he was following afar off. He wasn't walking where God wanted to walk. Who knows if he'd say, yes, I sure am, and y'all are crucifying the Son of God right now. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're trusting and get saved, you won't go to hell, but you'll go to heaven. Who knows? That whole bunch might have trusted him to get saved. No. He had to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and curse. Ruin his testimony. And then what happened later? He had to go out and weep bitterly. Why? He was behind where the Lord wanted to be. He wasn't walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. How much do you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, this thing got a hold of some of the writers in the Old Testament. I want you to turn with me to Psalms. Look at Psalms chapter 49. Psalms chapter 49. It's on page 623. It says here that in Genesis chapter 5, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. God took him. God received him up. And then 49 verse 15 it says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol. But he will receive me." He will do what? He will receive me. And this is exactly the same word that's used here in Genesis chapter 5. Verse 24. When he says he took it. And the writer here says that God will receive him. God will take him. They had that concept. They had that idea. And that's not the only place. Look at the 73rd chapter, the 24th verse, chapter 75. 73, excuse me. Chapter 73. Verse 24. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory." The psalmist says, and this is a psalm of Asaph, "You'll guide me with your counsel, but afterwards you'll receive me, you'll take me up." You know, we can have that same confidence. We can have that same assurance that God's going to take us. Now, as we said, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds. And our bodies are going to be taken. This is not the same thing that happened to Enoch. You know, as far as we know, when Enoch was walking with God back there in the book of Genesis in the 5th chapter, and this was some 5,000 years ago, as far as we know, Enoch is still walking today. In that same body. Is no account anywhere in the Word of God that he died. In fact, Hebrews tells us that God took him so that he would not see death. And if the writer of the book of Hebrews says that he would not see death, I take it the man didn't die.
You say, "Where?" We'll catch your dots in just a short, short.
Come back, night. All I know is that one day he was walking, and God took him. You say, "But it's always just so hard to walk." Why, my roommate? Why, she or he just aggravates me to death. There's just so many things that she does or he does to aggravate my husband, my wife, you know. At the job, there's just so many things. If you just don't understand, if you could just be there just for a little while, then you'd understand why I don't walk with God. Why I'm not controlled by the Holy Spirit any more than I am. Well, what about Enoch? Good example. I want you to turn with me for just a moment to Jude. Jude's a good one. It's on page 1350. Well, like we say, Jude's just pulled the book of Revelation if you're having trouble. It's just one chapter long, so you'll miss it very easily if you don't find the first chapter of Revelation. And that's real easy to find because that's the last one in your Bible. It's the last book, and just turn back to one page and you've got it. And we'll look at verse 14. We said a lot of times people say, "Well, if you just understood my condition and you just understood what it was like around our house or my job or in school, those professors or those students that I have to go to school with, if you just had to put up with them, you wouldn't walk either. You wouldn't be a good Christian either." Well, the reason why God, the Holy Spirit, picked out Enoch is because he had the same problems that you have and that I have and that everybody else has. I want you to notice very carefully in verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, Now, we just saw in Genesis chapter 5 that he was the seventh from Adam. There were six that died, and then Enoch was the seventh who didn't die. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Now, the Lord's going to come, and he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Enoch knew about that. Enoch also, he prophesied of these, saying, Enoch said, and Jude says that he said it, so he's bound to say it. Now, this is not talking about anything connected with the church age. You see, this is talking about Israel. This is talking about Jesus Christ reigning on the earth. And he says he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches on which ungodly sinners have spoken against what? Him. Now you say Enoch had it easy. What did he say? God's going to come. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to execute judgment upon all those that are ungodly because of their ungodly deeds, because of the ungodly way they have committed them, for their hard speeches, and these ungodly sinners that spoke against him. Now, he didn't live in a time that was nice. In fact, as long as you've got men around, they're going to be those who are going to aggravate and agitate. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, it was not a world where everything was just real nice and real fine. There were always those people around condemning, cutting, and trying to kill him. But he walked. He walked in complete harmony and fellowship with God the Father all the way through. He is Enoch, a like man. Now, not without sin. We know this. But he still pleased God so much that God took. Even though he was in a hostile world, and even though when his son Methuselah, when he died, the world was going to be so hostile and so much in rebellion against God that God was going to have to wipe out all the whole face of the earth, everybody on it except 8 souls. And yet he walked with God. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 once again. And let's look at these two verses once again in our closing minutes. By faith, Enoch was translated. He was taken up. He was caught up. He was received up that he would not see death. And he was not found. As we said, they all looked for him. I'm sure they must have wanted some counsel for him from him. I'm sure they saw his success and his inner peace. I'm sure they must have seen something different about this man who's so much walked with God that God just took him on home one day and says, Enoch, we'll take you out of it. You will not have to see death. Because God translated him. God took him up. Because he had the testimony that God was pleased with him. Verse 6. But without faith. Without faith. Impossible to please. Without faith, impossible to please. You know, we like for people to trust us, don't we? Remember when, some of you still know, when you were a teenager, the folks let you have the car or the folks let you go out, or the folks gave you some little leniency, you know, they gave you a little rope, and you wanted them to trust you. Now, you didn't do what they asked you to do, and you knew that when you got that little bit of freedom, you were going to take a little bit more, or maybe something came up and, you know, you just decided, well, it's not so bad, and they won't find out about it. I'll go ahead and do a little bit more than they permitted me to do. And they found out about it. Has that ever happened to you? So from then on out, you know, the next time they let you go or let you do something, they came around and checked up on you. Made you mad. Why? They didn't trust you. Why? Because you weren't trustworthy. Shouldn't have made you mad. You should have expected it. If you couldn't be trusted one time, then why should they trust you the second time? Now, God is a God whom we can trust. He's always faithful. He always does the same thing every time. He never lets us down. Even though we are unfaithful, yet He's still going to do what He says. He cannot deny Himself. And yet, we don't trust Him. We say, I know You did it for Enoch. And I know You did it for David. And I know You did it for Abraham. And I know You did it for these others. But I'm a nobody. You remember there was a time when all those people were a nobody too. And you've got the same kind of faith they have. It just depends on what you're putting your faith in. Well, we have learned to trust God. So, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We've got to learn to walk by faith. You've got to believe that His Son was, that Jesus Christ, who died outside the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago approximately, was God's Son. And that when He was hanging there on that cross, and when He shed His blood, and when He died, He was dying there for you personally. Just as if you had been the only person in the world, and you should have been hanging there on that cross because of your sin. Jesus Christ went there for you in your place. He was your substitute. He died, He was buried, stayed dead for 3 days and 3 nights. And He arose again because the job was complete. Walk on the earth for 40 days, ascended to heaven, and He is in that body right now, in heaven, seated on the right hand of the throne of God. One day He's going to come in the clouds to get us. 7 years later, He's going to bring us back to the earth, and we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And so we don't believe what He says, we can't please Him. Can't place Him. You know how a thrill it is when people trust you. You know how it pleases you, it pleases God. So without faith, it's impossible. It cannot be done to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And this word is here means eternal existence. That He is eternal existence. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we diligently seek the Lord and we diligently trust Him, He rewards us. He rewards us. Now, you don't trust Him as your Savior? Then the Bible says you are still an enemy of God. The Bible says you've never been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again if he was going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, how can I do this when I'm old? Well, he says, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When you trust Him, you have everlasting life. God loves you. He wants you to have that. Then we trust Him. as our Savior and we are saved, then we begin to walk. We walk by faith. And He rewards us. He rewards that faith in Him. How is your faith tonight? Are you still skeptical of the promises of God? Do you see a promise in God's Word where He says He's going to do something for you? Or something that He's promised you and He says, well, it's all right for now, but I just don't believe He'll do that for me. Or that was all right for Paul, or that was all right for Enoch. But He just wouldn't do that for me. Why? You haven't learned to trust Him. Let's bow for prayer.